I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking in your ass.
Thank you.
Hi there, and welcome to the latest episode of JB's Low Tech Podcast. I will be hitting on a couple of different, one main topic at two different ways, and then we'll have our question of the, or quote of the week, and also some story time. All that after we come back from this short message on the JB's Low Tech Podcast. Again, just JB speaking on behalf of JB's Glove Repair. It's that time of the year where parents or players may be thinking about buying a new glove to add to the defensive arsenal for their favorite baseball or softball players. Maybe you may want to try just adding new life to your glove, and that's where JB's Glove Repair comes into play. Just go to jbsgloverepair.com. and contact me. We'll set up a time to meet and for me to take care of business. Again, that's at jbsgloverepair.com, and that's jaybesgloverepair.com. Expose on or segment on 60 Minutes tonight, Sunday, December 6th. Sorry about that. You saw one of my favorite entities get put on the raked over the coals, and that is Golden Gopher Athletics. Now, believe me, you all know I love the place. You all know that I really care about Gopher sports. But a light was shone on something that's gone on over there that is just really terrible right now. Sports and people's lives are being cut away in the name of, in the cover of COVID. Yes, colleges around the country are losing money, or we're losing money hand over fist because they can't sell tickets to games, and they were losing TV money, but they were able to recoup that by having football players play games. And now basketball players and hockey players doing the same. Is it a money grab just to keep things afloat? Or is it a money grab to continue to pay the high salaries of coaches and administrators and to take care of the three big sports on campus to make sure that the boosters and alumni are happy? And those three big sports are football, men's basketball, and men's hockey if you have that program. As I stated earlier, what's going on a lot of college campuses is track programs, especially men's, and men's gymnastics program, along with other programs, are being cut to in the name of saving money because of so-called lost revenue because of what's going on with COVID. Well, the last time the economy took a bad spin, back in 2008, the same thing happened. You take a look at a sport like men's gymnastics, which has in the past 10 to 12 years has gone from 50 plus teams around the country now down to 12. It's an easy sport to cut in a lot of ways because it's not a big sport to boosters, and it's also not a big glamorous sport. Where it shows up the most is once every 4 years, where we need those athletes for Olympic competitors. But when you watch the mismanagement of monies towards football and basketball, it would blow your mind. The figure that is being thrown out right now is that the University of Minnesota's football program spent $38 million last year in costs. Now, that would be scholarships, travel, clothing, feeding, staffing, and all other incidentals that would follow under that umbrella. But you also have to look at things like the arms race, which mostly, again, only benefit, for the most part, benefit football and basketball and hockey if the school happens to have it. And you ask, what's an arms race? The arms race is when schools spend millions upon millions of dollars to stay up with the Joneses. When Alabama builds a new training facility, then Auburn has to do the same. Then Ohio State has to do the same. And then Minnesota has to do the same to stay up with Ohio State, and so on and so on and so on. Well, these schools that are running on lean budgets are mismanaging the funds they do have by doing so. In the case of an Alabama, who makes $75 million a year from their football program, they can handle that. That's no, you know, I shouldn't say it's no big deal, but they are making the money to have that happen. Where in the case of the University of Minnesota, that does not happen. I think we clear $15 million a year from football in a good year, only to have that money turned around and basically spent back on football again. Some of you may ask, what are some of those costs? Well, scholarships is one of the main ones. When you look at 85 individuals having their tuition, room, board, and et cetera, and cost of attendance being paid for by the university. No, most people think that if a kid gets a scholarship, that just means they get to go for free. Yes, they get to go for free, but somebody or something has to pay for it, and that's the athletic department. Comes out of their funding. Whatever they can raise in TV and radio revenue from sponsorships, and also give charitable giving. You watch these athletes all the time. You enjoy their efforts, but it comes at a mighty big cost, as we're finding out. So what's going on in these campuses is cutting, like I stated earlier, cutting sports like men's gymnastics or men's track and field. And you ask, why is it men's? And it's because the athletic directors and presidents of these campuses are using the Title IX law, which is a federal law that states if you receive federal funding from the federal government for your university, then you have to comply. And the biggest way to comply is here's an example, if your campus is 54% female and 46% male, then your athletic participants percentage has to have the same ratio. So when you have 115 football players, then you have to have 115 female athletes to equal that. In the past, at the University of Minnesota, things were tried like rowing was supposed to bring those numbers, and they never did. Then there was women's track raised their roster limit to 115 to 120 participants. Well, that equaled football. So that then leveled the field for all the rest of the teams. Here comes the problem with COVID. As less money rolled in, team roster sizes were being slashed. And every time you lower the women's, any female participant sport or their team, then you have to make that same adjustment to a like male sport. Take, for example, when I already stated that women's track went to 115. Well, recently they dropped all the way down to, I think it's 80 or 85 participants. Their brother sport, men's track, had to lower itself from 65 to 55 just to stay in compliance. This rule is used by Aflac directors as a budgeting tool, though. It is a way to then turn around and cut men's sports to take away spending from those sports that are then gone and to give more to, again, football and basketball. Or in other words, the rich get richer. In these times of COVID, yes, programs are strapped for cash or just staying level. Most places didn't plan on or have a rainy day fund, which is, again, poor management by administrators, or just didn't, just as they did in the Ivy League, just shut things down except for, and they don't have scholarships in the Ivy League, but if they did, they would have just taken care of scholarships and room and board. Whereas once you opened the football door up again, then you had to worry about travel and feeding on top of room, board, tuition, and books. And also during this period of COVID, especially in the Big Ten, the football and basketball athletes are being tested every day. And that also comes out of the pockets of the athletic department. Not the university, but directly out of the athletic department. So who's the sacrificial lamb? Again, those non-revenue sports that have little to no say and are just a blip to a lot of college or schools alumni. Hiding behind the Title IX law is gutless, and in some ways I think some people would say it's sexist. But here's the pecking order once that shield is thrown up. Football and basketball are taken care of course. In a school like the University of Minnesota, where we also have hockey, that is also well taken care of. Now, we do have women's basketball and women's hockey, which is greatly taken care of. But then after those sports come sports like women's volleyball, women's soccer, women's track and field, women's rowing, women's gymnastics. Do you get the hint that I'm laying down? The next in the pecking order after the top three sports is women's sports. Because if you're going to use the Title IX shield, then you have to put up, watch, and witness as civil rights auditors and Title IX people come through and compare everything to football. Meaning that if you build a new locker room for football, then every women's locker room has to have an upgrade. Nothing for the non-revenue men, but for the women. Now, you may think that I'm arguing against women's sports. I am not. Some of my favorite athletes at the University of Minnesota are female athletes, or former female athletes. All I'm arguing about is wise money management and a level playing field for all. When they cut men's track, men's gymnastics, and men's tennis at the University of Minnesota, which will come in effect next school year, they will save $1.2 million a year, or somewhere between $1.2 and $1.8 million a year. And guess where that money's going to go? It's not going to go in a rainy day fund. It's not going to go into making sure that we do some smart things with it, or to retain support staff, which is another point I'll get to in a second here. It will go into buying silly things, or, again, increasing things under the guides of the arms race. Now, I brought up support staff. Recently, as teams are being cut, staff is being cut too. And the people who are getting axed are people who were given the university athletic department 15-plus, 25-plus years of their life in service to that department, only to be told that they would not be renewed next year, or they're being furloughed, only leading to being eventually laid off. This is very disheartening as a M-man, as somebody who supported college athletes not only with my money, but with my time and my effort. And to be honest with you, I saw the guillotine coming, and I knew it was eventually coming for me. Again, the dirty little secret is the mismanagement of budgets. And when I say budgets, I'm not specifically talking about team budgets. I'm talking about the department as a whole, as these buildings that they're putting up in the name of staying up with the, keeping up with the Joneses, are only putting them deeper and deeper and deeper in debt, debt service. Millions of dollars a year in debt service. So what's the outcome? Get rid of men's minor sports. So you people who have sons, better get them in football or basketball or hockey if you're looking for scholarships, because other sports are always on the teeter-totter. They could be gone tomorrow, as men's gymnastics, men's track, and men's tennis found out at the University of Minnesota. Other reasons why they are after that low, and I say low in the scheme of things, $1.2 to $1.8 million, is increased coaches' salaries that they are always going to have going to go up, possible buyouts of coaches they have to fire, and other things that are coming down the pike. Like, it's coming, people. They're going to have to give the athletes more money than what they're giving them in just the normal books and tuition and food and clothing and whatnot. They're going to have to start paying them for their likeness and image, as they keep showing them all over the place on TV every night. These universities, under the guides of the NCAA, have lost court case after court case after court case in the likeness and image fight. And they know that they're going to have to pay these young people. Also, they're going to have to pay the cost of attendance, meaning that if there's a scholarship athlete, I'm talking about a full scholarship athlete, because there are some athletes that only get 25% and 30% and 50% and 75%. But I think it's anybody getting 75% and more, the cost of attendance will start coming into play. Meaning, if there's a shortfall where the scholarship doesn't take care of one of those basic needs, then you have to fill that in, getting even more expensive and more expensive to have sports programs. I know there are a lot of people who say, why even have sports on college campuses? And there's many reasons why. And I won't go into great detail. That's a different show, a different topic. But, you know, you're building tomorrow's leaders, and you're also building up, you know, future Olympians. You're also building up people who will give back, who will graduate and give back to their communities, and so on and so on. What you may ask, what got me so fired up tonight or today? Well, I watched a segment on 60 Minutes about colleges cutting sports, and no administrator, especially not one from the University of Minnesota, which the story was basically based on, except for head coach Mike Burns, who spoke about the damage that is being done to his sport and to his athletes. No one else would speak up. Not the president, and definitely not the athletic director. If you're going to make these decisions, then don't hide behind a federal law, and don't hide behind written statements. Get out, don't be a coward, and stand behind your convictions. But of course, what did we get? We got the standard, could not be reached for comment, but he did provide a written statement. Well, it's the same one that he's provided throughout this whole mess. So he couldn't even bother to write a new statement. And lastly, again, I want to touch on support people. I watched a group of 8 women who, like I said, on average, averaged 25 years of support to young people and coaches in a snap of a finger or a whip of a pen, have their careers taken away, their livelihoods removed. The thing that got them to wake up every day and be happy about life was removed because some AD or administrator or CFO or CEO or whatever title the money person has at a different school can't figure out a way to be more cost effective. With that, after this brief pause, I will get part two of this look at college athletics, if you want to call it, right after this on the JB Low Tech Podcast. Somebody that just loves to learn and welcome back to the JB's Low Tech Podcast. I'm going to continue on my look at college athletics for this episode and also try to work on Stop Saying Well So Much. The reason why I chose that song by Sly and the Family Stone, A Family Affair, is when you work college athletics, you're always told, we're family, we're family. Or they get in a huddle and they break the huddle and the last thing they say is, 1, 2, 3, family. Well, and I just said well again. Working on it, going to get a well bucket here. If you're at home, take a shot every time I say well. I'm going to take a look at another part of why cuts would be made. And it's 10 reasons why scholarship athletes are better off financially than other students. Number one, of course, for especially full ride athletes, but even people who are at 25 to 30% or 50% or 75% is less debt. That's maybe one less loan they have to take out, or money that their parents have to provide to keep them in college. Now, if you're in a sport where only partials are given, and that's a partial is where I was talking about only getting 25% or 30% of a scholarship, even that is still less debt when you leave than the normal college student accrues in their time as a college student. Allowance to play. On average, college student may get $1,000 in grants and in aid outside of taking out student loans or working or getting money from their parents. Whereas the college athletes on average receive up to $6,218 during that same 9-month period. And again, that hits back to point number one, which is less debt. Student athletes can exploit another degree, meaning as they have in their period of 3 to 4 years to 5 years gained one degree, they may have even the time to work toward their master's or another degree. Number four is to develop unique skill sets. They are far prepared for a career in coaching, be it at the high school level, the youth level, which some youth programs will pay them, most don't, but the high school level pays them, or even be a college coach. And they obtain those skills by being college athletes themselves. Better health care, and I spoke about this in segment one. You just look at in the Big Ten, football and basketball players are being tested daily for COVID-19. Are any of the rest of us having that happen? The only people I can think maybe that's happening for are healthcare workers. And that definitely should be happening for them. Yes, they have on-call doctors, on-call dentists, on-call physical therapy, mental health, and strength training for the 3 to 4 to 5 years that they're at their college. Travel. They get to travel and see the country. And in some cases, see the world. I think it's once every 4 years a team, if they can fundraise, are allowed to go overseas and play scrimmages and see another part of the world. That's not usually happening for every, or do every college student have the opportunity for that? Now, some schools offer study abroad, but, you know, you take in case of a pandemic, do you want your students traveling abroad? And also, in those cases, how safe are they if they're not connected with a sports program? Also, number 7, I like the way they put it on this sheet. Read my lips. No taxes. Yes, that's correct. They are tax exempt. Now, some would say they're employees of the university, and I have argued that for decades, but I won't do it anymore after watching these young people being forced to perform during a pandemic. They have basically been made the same as I am right now, which is an essential employee, to make sure that that money train continues on, continue happening. But to get back to the point of the article, so they received the scholarships funding and traveling and other things that will be mentioned, the healthcare and whatnot, and they're not taxed on it. Number 8, all you can eat. About 5-8 years ago, a UConn basketball player sat at a microphone and cried about going to bed hungry. Here's a tip for you all. The only way that young man was going to bed hungry, because he was too lazy to get up and go get the food that was sitting there waiting for him. I know in some cases they have team managers who deliver food to athletes. Now, he, by doing that, did help the non-revenue sports, because they were not having the same type of training, as it's called, training table, as football and basketball and hockey players were getting. And I'll even say women's volleyball. Now you'll see things as nutrition areas, where there are places where they can go get food 24 hours a day, snacks, fruits, nutritional items, protein items, things that will nourish their bodies and keep them healthier. But again, if they go to bed hungry, it's because they are too lazy themselves at this point to get up and go get the food. Number 9, and they use the word swag. I hate the word swag. It is a shoes, clothing, and apparel. And that's where my life livelihood was. I was an athletic equipment manager for 40 years of my life, from the time I was a student to the time I was a volunteer to the time I was an intern to a part-timer to a full-time university athletic equipment manager. Every year, athletes are given, on average, a $5,000 wholesale, not retail, wholesale wardrobe. Shoes, socks, undergarments, shorts, t-shirts, sweatsuits, coats, hats, gloves, caps, whatever you, they can slap a logo on and it has a function, they get it. And that isn't, and I'm not talking about uniform pieces, because those belong as property of the university. I am talking about actual stuff they get to work out in, and in some cases, stuff they never work out in and just wear to and from practice, or they wear to and from classes, or they just lounge in, period. Backpacks, you name it, they got it. So you're going to tell me that they're not getting things? I remember when I was a student manager and the baseball team would share first baseman's mitt and catcher's gloves, and then the players, the other 7 fielders, would have to buy their own glove. They would share helmets. They would share bats. Now every player has his or her own bat, his her own glove, or gloves, depending on how many different positions they play. Their own batting helmets, because not only do they have one batting helmet, team may have 2 or 3 different helmets depending on what uniform they're wearing. Batting gloves, socks, shoes, turf shoes, metal spikes, all the things they need to perform. And again, some of the things they don't need to perform to be a better athlete. they also receive privilege. And you see this constantly. Take, for example, when the Big Ten at first announced that they weren't going to play football this year, every major and local TV network grasped on to the quarterback at Ohio State welling up in tears and crying about not being able to play. And you're going to tell me that's not privilege to have all those people come and see you talk and give your opinion? Or people, and you see it constantly. People ask our athletes to come and speak to youth groups and schools and even Fortune 500 companies. So in conclusion, I just want to say that when you hear that college athletes walk away with nothing, and oh, by the way, they are graduating now at a 75% or higher clip. When I was in school, it was lucky to be in the 20%. So I forgot about the academic tutoring and the first come, first served to register for classes over the regular student body. So actually, there's 11 points. So in conclusion, just remember, there are things that you don't see from behind the scenes that these young people are receiving. And I'm not going to be saying they don't deserve it or they do this. To me, they deserve it just for representing the university. But everybody here entitled to your own opinion. Well, after I come back from this short break and paying the well bucket again, I will give you the quote of the week after this short break on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
She's here, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you very much. Granny, they're expecting you. You're a little late, so come right this way. Start right in, okay?
What? Say it now.
Yes.
Say it now. Yes. Me and the Ohio Players gonna tell you about a worm. He's the funkiest worm in the world. Okay, say it, fellas.
There's a worm in the ground, yes it is.
That's right. That's right.
He's 6 feet down.
Now it's time for the QOTW. This week, it will be, again, the quote of the week. As I stated last week, the QOTW could be the question of the week or the quote of the week. And this week's quote comes from Mike Burns, who had the guts to sit and give an interview about what's going on with his team, his men's gymnastics program at the University of Minnesota, and what's going on to the sport of gymnastics nationally. A lot of guts there, Mike. I love you for it. Well, his quote was, he was asked a question about, do you think athletics directors are getting together and making a playbook on how to cut sports and manage budgets? And Mike's quote was, I see them sitting at a table playing a game of poker, and one goes, I'll raise you a men's gymnastics team, and the next one going, I'll raise you a men's gymnastics team and a men's tennis team. Great quote, Mike. Sadly, it is truly happening in this country. Again, after another short break, it will be story time on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
To make it go that chill, I got the creed. said chill, that is so we said chill. To make a rhyme and chill, then you know I will fulfill. Make a couple of mil as I build a guild for all the rappers to skill and kill the weak rappers with no frill. Hang him in effigy, if he's a sucker, hang him to the left of me, cause my right hand man is my mic stand and the microphone that I own, and my game plan is keep it at a steady pace. Ain't no reason to rush, it ain't no race, I'ma hit the top just when I wanna, and it's a matter of time and I'm gonna, cause I know when to go ahead and enter the classic Modi rap that sent you running around holding your head, asking your homeboy, yo man, you heard what he said? Another funky rhythm, look at your man and give him a high five, cause I'm live, run around with him, telling everybody hanging out on the block, it's time to wake up and check the clock. Punch it. I go to work.
Yes, I go to work. I go to work Monday through Friday. But I'm going to give you a story in story time on the JB's Low Tech Podcast of JB, the scout team wide receiver. I was a student manager at the University of Minnesota. I believe it was 1983. And we were having a terrible season. We went 1-10, and I was the lead student manager. And the team was losing players, not opt-outs, of course not COVID, to injuries. And the group that was hardest hit was wide receiver. So I took my 190-pound frame and put on the pads for the good old University of Minnesota football team, scout team. What's a scout team, you ask? Scout team is the team of the players who don't normally get to play because they're not good enough or they're being developed to be future starters in the coming seasons. And they run and mimic the offense or defense of the team that you're going to play that week. Well, that was the week of Wisconsin week, the Badgers. And so we were running. I was part of the group that was running Wisconsin's offense. Here's the kicker for me. I was in a quarterback's jersey, meaning the color of my jersey was not the same color as the defensive players. That was our starting and second team defense that we were help giving a look for. Nor was I in the same color of the offensive players that were lining up with me. Quarterbacks normally wear a different color than both of those groups, and that is so people know not to hit the quarterback. So I was wearing a quarterback's jersey to make sure they knew that I was not to be hit. I also was not to have passes thrown to me, nor was I supposed to block anybody. Literally, on every play, I was just supposed to run down the field and then come back and run down the field again. Then on pass plays, run the pattern that the person that I'm supposed to be mimicking, but the ball was never supposed to be thrown to me. Tuesday and Wednesday, things went fine. No problems, no issues. I'm loving life. I was like, man, I can, you know, really enjoy doing this. Well, here comes Thursday. And somebody, and I don't know if it was an assistant coach or a graduate assistant coach or if it was a captain of the defense, decided to turn the tables on me. I became the hot receiver that day, meaning balls were being thrown to me or at me, I should say. I would at least give the quarterback credit for throwing the ball over my head or throwing it in front of my feet, but it did make me more of a live participant at that point. Also, I would be lining up against a guy named Kerry Glenn. Oddly enough, Kerry Glenn was from East St. Louis, Illinois. I myself is from and grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. There is a rivalry between the two cities, even though East St. Louis is a dying, dead, cold town. Well, needless to say, Kerry decided to take his frustrations for that season out on me. Kerry went on to play in the NFL, and I believe he was drafted for the New York Jets and then signed as a free agent with the Miami Dolphins. He had a nice career in the NFL. Carey decided that on every play there should be contact between East St. Louis and St. Louis. So I spent that practice period, which lasts 20 to 25 minutes, running patterns and then running out of bounds, or running patterns and running away from Carey. Never moved as fast on a football field in my life once I caught on to what was going on. As you can tell, I survived it. There was no broken bones, no serious bruises, and no mental anguish. I hope you enjoyed story time again on JB's Low Tech Podcast, and pass the link on to others and tell a friend. Come back next time to hear more on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
JB
is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game.
I am Negro, Black, African American,
Black.
Django,
JB,
damn, Dolomite.
Great God in heaven, you know.
JB,
our great Negro sex machine.